Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome, you are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the Christmas Eve edition, and Barbecue Bob and I are taking a little bit of time and stepping back and counting our blessings for the year. The Grilling Guys had a fantastic 2016, and we're looking forward to a great 2017 as well. But today's show, we're going to have a little bit of fun. We're going to talk a little bit about a Bloody Mary mix, and we're going to talk with a seafood restaurateur, and then we're going to maybe get a little Big Paulie and get a little Christmas ideas on some food from him. But I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, Merry Christmas, and thanks for joining us this morning. Merry Christmas to everybody and to all our friends in Hawaii. Mile kaliki maka and hauli maki hiki ho.
Every time.
Got to stay sharp, baby.
Absolutely.
I was going to go with the Japanese version too, but I can't remember.
So, Bob, been doing a lot of cooking. You've got a bunch of people around for, I know that I'll be over this evening to celebrate. Traditionally, we get together with you and your family on Christmas Eve in the evening. After our church service, we head over and share a little Yuletide joy, and looking forward to it. I've got some surprises that I'm going to be bringing over.
That scares me.
Yeah, I'm not going to share them, but we've been up making food for a couple days now that we're going to be bringing over.
I told you not to bring food. We got it all planned.
I understand.
You don't listen.
I'm bringing fun food. I'm not bringing entrees. I'm bringing stuff, man. You're gonna see food that is art and whimsical.
You're not gonna walk it in the door and slaughter it in the kitchen this
That's
time.
Correct. Not That's like good. Last time. Yeah. No, last time it was the full fondue, full on fondue.
Those people are still looking for that cat.
Yeah.
That was not even cool.
Easy. Well, you know what, though? That's the best story we've ever told, in my opinion.
No, I think killing the hog on air was better.
Yeah, right.
So, but anyway. Hey, you know what? Today is a birthday of a very dear friend of ours.
Who's that?
That is Greg Mosherry. So we want to send out a big, big hug and a happy birthday to Mr. Mosherry. I think this is the big one. I think he's the big 6-0.
Oh, really? So, well, for those of you that don't know, we have a third partner in the Grilling Guys. He's ever silent. That is Greg Mosherry. But Greg is a media consultant and really is the brainchild of the Grilling Guys. He's the one that introduced the concept to us and put us together. And the rest, as they say, is history. So we have a debt of gratitude to Greg, because the Grilling Guys were put together in his mind, and yep. And we're just working it.
And he started his career right here at Wood Radio.
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
So,
25
years ago or so, and now he's like the number one radio consultant in the country.
Right.
So he, you know, Wood was good.
Yeah. Wood is good.
Yeah.
That's a true statement.
So, had just a phenomenal time grilling this week. A lot of basic stuff, but was playing around with that Sapphire again. And
that's a Kamado grill, right?
Yeah, it's ceramic. A Kamado grill. And I got my venison back from Pinckney Hill, and I pulled some chops out. And I used a little marinade that I came up with years ago. I scoured our site. If you go to thegrillingguys.com, you'll find up in the menu bar, if you just search for whatever food you're looking for, you might find a recipe there that you like. But I'll share it in the final segment. It's a little bit detailed, but I guess my point is, it's just so fun to just pull something out, whether you're familiar with it or not, and just try it on the grill. And if it's just your family anyway, and you're pretty decent at the grill, you're not going to disappoint anybody. There's not many bad recipes online, and if it is, you're going to know it when you see it. Just stay away from the ones that don't sound like they could possibly make sense.
Right. Now, on that Kamado grill, Bob, in that scenario, did you use it as a smoker with a setter plate between there?
Or no, I didn't have the plate setter on.
Okay.
I'd use it as a grill.
Okay.
But I did throw some of that plum wood on there that I had, so it still does get a little smoky. And I'm still using the Parker Pure Mountain Charcoal.
Right. And I did the same thing this week, and I wanted to talk to you about that because the Kamado grills, I have a big green egg. You have the sapphire. They're basically the same concept. There's a trap door on the bottom that lets air in, and then there's a baffle on the top that lets the air out, and it's that flow of air that controls the heat, right? Well, when you're using that as a charcoal grill, the dome is up, so it's just getting tons of air in there.
It'll get out of control.
It does, and that's where I was going to talk to you about because I had when we did a Christmas party for our friends at Wells Fargo, and I bought some extra lamb chops, and I had held them back, and I cooked them this week. And I did it the exact same thing you did, as I used the Kamado as a charcoal grill. But when you open that lid up and you let all that air in on that Parker Mountain charcoal, man, that stuff got hot in a hurry. And you had to let it flare up, and then it settles down after a period of time. But I had a basketball size of red embers, just, you know, 800 degrees in there.
Here's a little tip for people out there with a Kamado. If you're going to grill in that fashion, and we're going to call that direct grilling versus indirect. On a Kamado, if you know going in that you're going to do that, you have to be very stingy. If it's lump charcoal, you just put a little bit down there. Or a Weber kettle's the same way. The amount of charcoal you throw down is directly proportional to the amount of radiant and direct heat that you're going to get off that unit. So it's once you've got the charcoal in there and it's lit, it's too late. We're going auto mode a lot of times when we, you know, just pour the charcoal in.
Right.
If you know you're going to do that in an open grilling scenario or like on a pit barbecue where you have a big, you know, a lot of these guys just fabricate like that big stainless job you've got, you're just pouring the coals on the bottom. What you can do in a scenario like that is just build your nice little pile charcoal, build a pile, and then rake it across once it's red and use those, and then just gingerly feed it a little bit if you're doing a prolonged cook.
And that's exactly what I didn't do.
You said basketball size.
Right. Well, and I had used the smoker or used the Kamado as a smoker rather than the prior cook.
So
and
it just of course, had charcoal in
the
it.
The charcoal was in it, and all I did was relight it. Uh-huh. Right. But when I opened the lid to let the fire get going, which I always do anyway, pulled the plate setter off of there, which I use when I smoke. Right. Now I've got direct grilling. And before I knew it, I had this monstrous fire, and I had to go get the like 18-inch tongs because you couldn't reach over top of it. It was so hot.
That hair grows back.
Yeah, right. It did, or it will anyway. But at the end of the day, the lamb chops came out great because you like cooking those little lamb chops on that really high heat. It sears them in. You get them nice, medium, rare, and it's good. But there was a lesson learned there.
I feel sorry for little Lammy Pie.
Yeah, right. Well, he was sorry long before he hit my grill. So
yeah.
Anyway.
If you were listening last week, you might have heard David Webb on the show. David Webb is a Fox News contributor, a friend of mine from a ways back, and a friend of Big Paulie's. And he also does a show on Sirius Satellite, Patriot Channel 125. On Thursday nights at 11 o'clock, I'm on his show every week. And we had this running bet. Well, I lost with the Lions, so I had to send him a buck. But he also asked me, he put me on the spot on air and said, hey, I need a moose knuckle because he's got these Swedish friends, right? So I did get a hold of a buddy of mine who just shot a moose. And so I air freighted, overnighted that moose knuckle, some ground moose, and then I threw some of my venison in there with the buck in there with it.
Yeah.
So he's... probably today presenting that moose to his buddies, and they're, you know, in a high rise in Manhattan. They're gonna.
Who else in Manhattan has eaten moose knuckle?
I know,
but on Christmas Eve, but those guys, right?
Oh, he's gonna be a god in that building
because the
Swedes love their moose because they have a lot of it in caribou, reindeer, I should say.
Coming up next, we're gonna go to Brute's Mix. You're not going to want to miss this. This is a homegrown West Michigan Bloody Mary, and we're going to break it down and let you know why you're going to want to want some of this. Coming up next. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Oh, the mistletoe hung where you can see. Somebody waits for you. Kiss her.